Hey, it's Jamie Dodd.
And Thomas Drance.
Get your daily dose of Canucks talk with us weekdays from 12 to 2 on Sportsnet 650.
Or catch up on demand through your favorite podcast app.
Show Josh Elliott Wolf Dominic Schmatti here.
Hello,
with
brother.
You. Coming to you live from the Kintec studio.
Special Kintec. Teams, special players, special plays.
Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotic provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Find your perfect fit at kintec.net.
Tuesday.
Dom in here wearing a Texans jersey right now for some reason. You can text in 650-650. Dunbar Lumber text line. Dunbar Lumber with three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street. Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center or Arbutus in Vancouver online at DunbarLumber.com. How many, like, percentage-wise of our listeners do you think understood your reference just now?
69.
No.
I'm going to move on. 650. Get your text in.
Answer the question. Answer your own question.
Oh, like the answer to my question, I think, is probably 15%. Is what I would put at it. I'm just trying to think of the demographic of Sportsnet 650. I would put it around 15% that are chronically on TikTok. Is basically the
so me.
Yeah, and I also understand.
How many
it.
Of us are on TikTok chronically?
I don't know.
Large
I don't know if
number,
it's
hovering around 70.
But 15%, I think, is a lot.
That's way
still
too
a
low.
Lot of people. I don't know. Text in 650 650 if you got it. But anyway, on the show today, we'll get into the tea.
Hey, if you can say it, I can say it.
We'll get into some other stuff as well. In the second half of the show, one thing that Elliot Friedman brought up on a podcast that you produced, 32 Thoughts. I've heard of it. You've heard of it. We've all heard of it. The league potentially expanding playoffs, what it means, and it kind of feels inevitable at this point. We'll get into that and if it makes sense for the league to do and what side of the argument we might be on. Also, Canucks yesterday taking care of the Anaheim Ducks. Got a little bit sweaty, not going to lie.
Ew.
But it was a 3-2 win for Vancouver in matinee action at Rogers Arena.
They were the only game in the NHL yesterday.
I will say it's kind of fun to, like, I didn't go to the game, but to go to a game, it's sunny outside, you get out, still sunny outside.
Yeah, it's nice.
Rest of your day. It's like going to a movie. I guess it's a matinee. Some would say.
I'd rather be outside.
Probably.
Yeah.
Than a movie or a Canucks game?
Than a movie.
Yeah. Canucks game, though, if you walk out and they won, you got that winning feeling and you still got your whole day.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
But if they lose.
Then your day is ruined. And that's okay. Anyway, it's time to get into it. It's the tea.
Happy April 1st. Did you fall for any jokes today?
I did not. Usually it's the ones that, like, hey, I just opened social media, the first thing I do to start the day because I don't care about waking up naturally.
Yeah.
And usually it's whatever I see first kind of gets me.
Yeah, that happened but, to me today.
What got you?
Somebody said that Apple announced a new MacBook in 5 different colors.
Ah, and you were all hyped up?
And I went to Apple.ca. I was like, is this real? And then I was like, oh, it's not real.
The thing about a good April Fool's joke is it has to be something that people don't actually want to happen. You know what I mean? Because then you're relieved when you find out it's a joke.
Okay.
If it's something you want to happen, like another thing.
Oh, then you're disappointed.
Then you're disappointed. Yeah. You're like, well, why isn't this a thing? Especially if it's tweeted out by the company. Like the company.
Oh, the Fraser Valley Bandits. They announced an outdoor game at the LEC.
And you're like, wow, this is a great idea.
And then 2 seconds later, I realize it's an April Fool's joke. Why don't you play professional basketball outside?
It would be fun. And now you're disappointed that it's not going to happen. And you know what? There's a line you have to walk when making a good April Fool's joke. And sometimes people don't walk that line properly. And that's okay. Shoot your shot, regardless.
Why do I bring up April 1st? Well, because we just left the month of March behind us. So
that was the previous month.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, brother. We just left the last month behind us.
Yeah.
The Canucks, they went 8-3-1 in the month of March. Why doesn't it feel like it?
I think because people are kind of getting in overreaction mode. It's crazy how quickly the narrative around this team has shifted.
is it overreaction mode or is it how they won 8-3 in one?
I think it's overreaction mode. I think people have recency bias and they look at some previous results and it's like, oh, you didn't beat this team by enough, or you didn't play well against this team. When in reality, let's look at the month as a whole. Let's go through every single game because it's not that
go
many.
Go ahead. I'm right here.
Yeah, it's not that many. So they start the month.
It's 12.
They beat Anaheim. Then they beat LA, a team that they had trouble beating.
Four-game win streak, right?
And then they beat Vegas, another very good team. And then they shut out the Winnipeg Jets, 5-0.
Seems like forever ago.
It does. It does. And that's what I'm saying is like, hey, recency bias. If you had told me that those four games were going to happen, I would have been like, hey, this team is shaping up pretty good for the playoffs.
Now, since that win streak, what have they done?
So then they lost in overtime to the Colorado Avalanche. Mm-hmm. They lost to the Capitals by one, beat the Sabres, beat the Canadiens, beat the Flames. And then in this past week, lost to the Kings in a game that, like, look, could have gone either way, I think. Lost to the Stars. Dallas outplayed them. I'm not going to argue anything on that front. And then beat the Ducks in a game that shouldn't have been as close as it was.
But they didn't play well.
They didn't play as good as they should have, but talent overcame and they won. Realistically, like, I'm still not overly concerned about where this team is at. Another note from this previous month, they only lost one game by more than one goal. The Dallas Stars, they lost 3-1.
Yeah.
Every other loss was by one goal.
Yeah, but to me, see, Josh, to me, the results don't matter. It's how they got the results that they did. And after that four-game win streak to start the month, did it ever at any point this month when you were watching this team feel like, oh, they're really putting it together ahead of the playoffs? No, they didn't. This team seems to just be floating along through now into the month of April, and we're heading towards the most crucial part of the year, and nothing about this club, other than the play of Quinn Hughes and JT Miller, gives me any indication that they are ready for the playoffs.
Here's my...
Maybe Dakota Joshua, actually. That was a big bright spot on the weekend.
Dakota Joshua is amazing.
Fantastic.
Two goals yesterday.
We'll get to that.
We'll get into it. But here's my thing with all of that is... The Canucks have known that they're going to be a playoff team for so long. And I just wonder if there's a natural, like, foot off the gas. And I'm not saying it's justified. I'm not saying they should be doing it. Even Rick Tocchet in practices is like, hey, it's go time. Figure this out. And so I do think there's more for them to give. But also I still think that there's half a month before they get to the postseason. If they don't start completely, like,
they still
kicking
have to win
up,
the division.
Yeah, yeah. If they don't kick it into another game. I'm honestly not super concerned about them not winning the division. And maybe
we'll
that's
get into that at the end of the T.
And hey, maybe that's something that people are concerned about. But if they don't turn it up in these next few games, like, hey, now you're going into Vegas again.
Big game. You have to beat Vegas.
And then you play Arizona, whatever. But then you play LA and Vegas. And so basically three of your next four games are against potential playoff opponents.
To me, all four games are must win.
I don't.
If you want to win,
I
the
think
division,
you got
to
win.
Hold on. We're going to get to this later. Well, let's circle back to this.
Okay.
Because there's a whole discussion.
In terms of just overall performance and confidence, I think you need to win three of four. Like if you lose one of the games against Vegas, like
sure.
You play them twice, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
My bigger concern
500
is
not good enough.
My bigger concern is like, figuring out actual portions of how this team is playing right now. Like the power play needs to be figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Elias Pettersson's line needs to be figured out. There are certain things that need to improve. But in terms of like, hey, if we're ranking our concern of where this team is at right now on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm at a 4. Like I'm still confident they're going to figure it out by the postseason.
Mm.
That doesn't mean that they're like going to go far. And I'm not confident in them necessarily going far.
Which is crazy because they're about to win their division, hopefully.
Sure. But also, it's the first year of a process. Like you can't go from not making the playoffs to being a legitimate Stanley Cup caliber team.
Here's the thing. We say it's the first year of a process.
No,
this team's going to look vastly different next season.
Every team looks vastly different most years, though. In terms of the core, this team is going to be the same next year.
Sure.
Anyway, what's next?
Moving on. This is the hottest tea of the month of March. Is something bothering Pettersson? So in the month of March, Elias Pettersson had 4 goals, 5 assists, 3 of the 9 points came on the power play. Six came at 5-on-5. Hughes and Miller have been driving play for Vancouver, and Pettersson, who is your star player, your highest paid player, has been playing below his standard. So are we looking at a player who is being bothered by something? Is it self-confidence issues? Or is he just a hot and cold player? Is he just a streaky guy? Well, who is Elias Pettersson?
I have the utmost confidence in Elias Pettersson figuring this out and becoming like the game breaker that we all have seen in the past.
I hope so.
Even in the bubble playoffs, he showed that he can be a playoff or a good player in the playoffs, someone that can win you a series. I have confidence in him being that, and I have complete long-term confidence in him as a player. What I will say is I am coming around to the fact that like maybe he's running out of runway in terms of figuring out his game before the postseason. And I do think that there are issues with the Canucks lineup right now. Elias Lindholm being injured adds to it. And the other part of it was Lindholm was brought in to be Pettersson's wingman, right? Basically filling in for where Andre Kuzmenko was. And we haven't seen that get enough run. So I still wonder if the lines and his line mates aren't figured out completely yet. I haven't minded the...
But is that enough of a thing to make you look at the player and think he's okay? Something is clearly bothering Elias Pettersson despite his line mates.
And I don't know what that is. Like, I don't know if it's a confidence thing. I don't know what it is.
Josh, when you look at... You go to half the games.
Sometimes.
Right? You go to half, Lena goes to half.
Yep.
When you watch Quinn Hughes, you see a player who drives play. When you watch JT Miller, it's a different kind of drives play, but he drives play with his physicality, his strength, his shooting. Quinn Hughes with his skating, his agility. When I watch Elias Pettersson play in this last month or so, I don't see a player that breaks a game open.
And I think what I'm trying to get at is when his game is at 100% and he's breaking games open and doing all that,
yeah,
he has line mates that can complement what he's doing. Because he's someone that can make a play happen. He can find someone in open space, but he needs that player to be in open space.
Well, then how do you explain the power play then?
The power play is just overall bad right now. I don't think that's on any player in specific.
How much? Okay, really? Because why can't you look at it and say, well, if the power play is struggling and Elias Pettersson is struggling, how is there no correlation between the two? Or is there and we're just ignoring it?
So one thing I was talking to Jamie about on Friday, and I do agree that part of the power play, especially... So the Thursday game against Dallas, one thing I noticed was the puck was dying on Pettersson's stick quite often. And I don't have the numbers exactly right now, but I went back, I watched all the power plays, and I totaled up the giveaways for every player on the first power play in it. Brock Besser, I believe, had one. Quinn Hughes, I believe, had one. JT Miller had 2. And Elias Pettersson had 5 or 6, which for a player like him, that is way too many. And I do agree that Thursday and lately, Pettersson has been a problem on the power play. But I also believe that the unit as a whole just isn't firing at the rate it should be. Realistically, I only think JT Miller is the one that's doing enough on the power play right now.
Not Quinn Hughes.
But we've also seen Quinn Hughes be better on the power play at times this season. And so I just think it's a... like. When we talk about, hey, what's the issue that's causing this? I think the power play, it's an overall confidence issue. And that's the same for a lot of power plays when they struggle around the NHL. I do wonder, today we saw Dakota Joshua get a bit of a shot on power play 1 because Brock Besser left practice early for maintenance. I'm really interested in seeing if they roll with that. Like, if you can have Joshua net front, Miller on the left flank, Pettersson on the right, Quinn Hughes as quarterback, and Brock Besser in the bumper, I have a lot of time for giving that some run and seeing how it works out. Also, we just haven't seen Elias Lindholm get run there either. I don't know. I don't know what
seems
the issue
like a lot
is.
Of maybes.
That's
out
kind
here.
Of the thing, though. Is like
if this, if that, you know, this, that, like,
yeah,
it's very frustrating.
It's frustrating for sure, but there's no way around it. It's just they have to figure it out. And if they don't figure it out, then yeah, they're not going to go far in the playoffs.
That's where I wanted to take this conversation next. If Elias Pettersson on current form is playing in the playoffs, do the Canucks go anywhere? And I think the answer is no. The Canucks go as far as Elias Pettersson takes them.
I think they can still win around with Elias Pettersson playing like this. Yeah, they're not going far. They need Pettersson when he gets to the playoffs to be another game breaker.
Like our boy, what's Shank?
Shank?
Or
Sketch?
Sketch, thank you.
Oh my goodness, come on.
As he says, special teams, special plays, special players.
Yeah.
That's Elias Pettersson.
What a good segue there. I'm proud of you. That was good.
And if he can't, well, thank you. If he can't show up in the big moments, then what are we doing here? And here's the other thing that really bothers me is just as someone who consumes media and sees how people react and whatnot, it's okay to be critical of Elias Pettersson when he's not playing well.
Yeah, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be critical of him. I agree with you that in this last stretch, I haven't been happy with his game.
Mm.
And I'm just trying to figure out what to attribute that to. And I just don't think we know. Like, is it a confidence issue? Is it a line mates issue?
Or is it a niggling injury?
Maybe he's fighting something right now. We don't know, but we'll see. Like, all of this goes out the window if they get to the postseason and he turns it on. But I also see where people are coming from in the fact that they might not have confidence in him right now to turn it on. I do, but if we get through the postseason and he doesn't, then I have some questions.
All right. We were just touching on it briefly there, the next bit of tea. The Dak attack is back with Miller and Garland.
Yes. So Dakota Joshua yesterday.
And was he on the power play for that goal?
He was
in
on
front?
He was on the second power play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
That little nice little between the legs.
Between the legs, man. Soft hands, Dakota Joshua.
His price just went up.
He has
sell.
It's too late. Dakota Joshua, though. So we saw him and Garland with JT Miller yesterday. And so essentially it's the third line just in the top six and with a better center than Teddy Bluger. I thought it was really, really good. I liked that line. The issue I have, and I don't even know if it's an issue, the potential issue I have is if you move Dakota Joshua and Connor Garland up to the top six.
Garland, yeah.
Garland. Do you have
enough?
Do you have enough in your bottom six? Or is it just like a wasteland of offense if you move Joshua and Garland up to the top six? And that's kind of my issue is, because you look at it yesterday, if you have Garland
with
and
the
Joshua,
absence of Lindholm, you have to make sure your top six is solvent.
Yeah. So yesterday we saw the lines as Arshdeep Bains, Teddy Bluger, Vasily Podkolzin as one and the other one in the bottom six, Sam Lafferty, Pew Suter, Ilya Mikheyev. And I just don't have enough confidence in those lines offensively.
But what's more important to you, a good top six or a sturdy bottom six?
So here's my ideal lines. In terms of like, hey, you still get some contributions from the bottom six, but also you should have enough in the top six. My ideal lines, if everyone was healthy, Hoglander, Pettersson, Lindholm. I think you need to give that some run.
Yep.
I don't care who's at center. Figure
Trey
it
corner
out.
Corner line, yeah.
Suter, Miller, Besser, I thought played really well when they were together. Suter's shooting percentage is really low right now. I do wonder if that balances out, maybe people are a bit higher on him. But regardless, that's something I'd want to see in the top six. And so those two lines in your top six, I think theoretically, give you enough offense to still be legitimate contributing offensive lines. And then you have Joshua, Bluger, Garland as your third line, which we all know can dominate games at time. It would be getting softer matchups because they wouldn't be playing with Miller in the top six. And I think that goes a long way as well. And then Mikheyev, Lafferty, Podkolzin, I guess, would be your fourth line. And I don't know if
don't
they're...
say it like that.
Well, they're just there, man. You got to fill it out. I don't know. Whatever. Throw me on the fourth line.
Okay, relax.
It's fine. But I
can
also...
you skate?
I can skate.
Okay.
But it's like a question mark at the end. I can skate.
Okay.
Not confident in it, though. But that's what I would like to see, is those four lines, at least give them some run before the end of the season. If Lindholm gets back healthy, I just, it's so, You notice how they needed another top six forward desperately, even more when Lindholm was out or is out, because it's like, man, I if Lindholm is out, you can't even piece together lines, you know, that inspire you. So you kind of have to do stuff like Joshua and Garland in the top six, and it worked yesterday. Maybe give it some run. I'm open to it, but that's kind of how I would like to see the four line shake out.
Who would have thought when they traded Kuzmenko, a first, a third round pick, and Brustevich, that they'd be acquiring someone who is just as hard to keep in the top six?
Yeah, yes. I get what you're saying. But also Lindholm, it's like, at least if he's not contributing offensively, he's good defensively.
No, I know. His best ability is availability, and now he's not available.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's just frustrating. As a Canucks fan, it's frustrating. You want it to work. Anyway, the final bit of tea before we head to break. The Canucks are only 2 points up on the Oilers in points percentage for the division. Both teams have almost an identical remaining strength of schedule, with a slight edge going to the Oilers. The teams will face each other on April 13th.
So that game, it might mean a lot.
Yeah.
It might mean a lot.
Well, it will mean a lot.
A lot can change between now and then, though. The Oilers, what I will say is, like, hey, you got to fit two more games into this remaining 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
That's, like, they still got, I believe, let me just pull up their schedule here. Yeah, three back-to-backs remaining. The Canucks have one. Mm-hmm. And I think that might go a long way. And not only are the Oilers going to be in tough to...
But here's the thing. The Oilers play San Jose... They play the Coyotes twice.
Yeah.
They play the Flames once and the Blues once.
Yeah.
Well, the only layups the Canucks have left are the Flames and the Coyotes twice.
Yeah. And then
the Canucks still have to play the Jets, the Knights twice, and the Kings.
I do wonder, so they do have to play the Jets. That's the last game of the season. We'll see how much it actually matters in terms of...
It might be the division. If you think about it, on the last day of the year.
Potentially. But again,
we're talking about a 2-point difference.
Like I said earlier in the year, I'm just confident that they're going to stretch this out before
current form?
I am. I don't know. I just got a feeling. Not like confident in any numbers that I look at other than their defense. Their defense has been stellar since the All-Star break. Yeah. But I don't know. I just got a feeling that Edmonton, they've played a lot of hockey, man. And eventually that catches up to you.
Connor McDavid is so good.
And they'll probably make up some more ground before the end of the season. I'm not disagreeing with
that. Well, as you know, the games you have not played yet, those are automatic wins.
Well, in
the
standings. Of course.
That's how points percentage works.
Yes. The Oilers 6 points down with two games in hand. So theoretically, if they win those two games in hand, then yes, that Canucks-Oilers game, if all stays according to plan, will matter on April 13th and matter a lot. But Edmonton has to play a lot of hockey between now and then. And, hey, they got the talent to do it. I think they'll make up some ground. I'm going to say they're not going to catch the Canucks. That's the flag I'm putting in the ground. But, man, Edmonton is scary right now.
Did you see Riccio's stat today that he posted?
So, yeah.
Connor McDavid has more assists than any other player has points since the All-Star game.
That's insane.
I don't want to face Connor McDavid in the playoffs.
McDavid's stats are so fun. It's nearing Gretzky.
So fun.
They are. It's nearing Gretzky stats, you know, where it's like, that's just absurd, man. How are you doing this? Yeah. But, yeah.
Austin Matthews eclipsed 60 goals, eh?
Do you think he gets 70? How many games does he have left? He has 8 games left. I think nine games left. If he were to get there, it would have to be Toronto really putting him in a position to do it. You know what I mean? Anytime they have an empty net, he'd be out there.
They have a week strength of schedule left, too.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it goes.
Play the Habs, the Devils, the Pens, and the Red Wings left.
I say he gets past 65. I don't think he gets past 70. I'm going to 67.
Okay.
Leafs number, too.
I'm going to say 69.
They would... Yeah,
he's going to get
right
before 70.
Of course. Do you think Brock Besser gets to 40?
I would love to see it.
He's at 38 now.
No, yeah, for sure.
So.
Yeah.
As long as today's...
He will feast on the Arizona Coyotes.
As long as today was actually just a maintenance day, I do think he gets there as well. But that's the tea.
That is the tea. I have a last bit of tea to share to the listeners.
Go ahead.
As you guys have known... or have heard while Josh and I are on the air. We've been updating you with the Vending Machine Chronicles.
Oh,
and how
yes.
Big Turk was replaced, was replacing Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Mm-hmm.
Right next to the Big Turk, for a whopping $3.50,
whoa,
you can now purchase tuna in a can with crackers.
Awesome. So awesome. That's how I feel about that.
Yeah.
Holy.
So I ask you, Josh, if you had to choose from the Rogers vending machine in the cafeteria, would you rather go with Big Turk at $2.25 or tuna salad and crackers at $3.50?
I would probably go Big Turk. I'm not a big tuna guy. I know Victor, producing the show, also not a big tuna guy.
Victor is staunchly anti-tuna.
Neither of us are Andy from The Office or Jim from The Office.
I like tuna. I don't like canned tuna.
Yeah, that's what we said.
I'm just not a tuna guy in general.
Oh.
So I'll go no tuna like, and no canned tuna.
Not even sushi?
No, like if I'm getting sushi, I prefer other fish.
Wow.
I don't know why.
I love tuna.
Just not my thing.
I'm picking tuna.
Okay.
Text us 650-650 what you choose. I know we got a lot of Big Turk stands in the listenership, but I'm going tuna. I hate Big Turk.
You're just trying to feed those biceps for the beach.
I am.
You need the macros in that tuna.
Protein.
There we go. 650-650, keep your texts coming in. We see all your texts. We'll get to them, including some on Thatcher Demko.
Yes, brother.
And more on the other side. It is the People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf, Dominic
Tuesday.
Here on Sportsnet 650.